that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning to the Remnant and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live this morning from the, it's a brisk radio ranch for summertime. About 48 degrees this morning, a little damp. But it is August 21st, 2021. We welcome you, and we thank you for joining us. And we'll bring all the men on this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And John, good morning to you, sir.
Morning.
And I think Brother Paul was going to try to join us, so he may tap in a little bit. But we say, Remnant, good morning to you. The program is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are here, we have our coffee, we have our Bibles, and we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. And we gather for fellowship, we gather for praise and worship to Him, and we thank you for joining us. We'll have the phone lines open this morning, and we'll be glad to take your call, your comments, or pray for you. We've certainly do that on Saturday mornings as well. And I think Paul joined us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Jason, we'd ask if you would open us up in prayer this morning.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We ask that you be with your people across this land, Father, that you tend to their needs, Father, as our enemies make an uproar against us, we hold up that shield of faith and we extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one and call for their weapons of warfare to fail. Father, they're warring with us, they're warring with you. And we just ask, Father, that you send your angels to intercede on our behalf. And, Lord, we just ask for your help and your guidance and your direction. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us and over this land, Father, and we cry out for this land. And we ask, Father, that you save America again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. And, again, Remnant, the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. If you would like to give us a a call. And full agreement with your prayer, Jason, for God to save America again. That is the only saving that there is going to be. In talking with people, there is no faith in man, no matter who it is. Was talking with a brother yesterday that said, the people he was looking up to, whether they were Vietnam veterans or a veteran since then, that just seemed all gung ho and would never give up their guns and never go do this or that, or giving up their guns, going to get a shot. That they're just, you might say, giving up. And it was disheartening to him. And I reminded him, I said, well, we cannot put our faith in man. And that's what even the unchurched are seeing, that our faith in Jesus Christ can stand. And he is giving opportunity for that to... for that to be made manifest, to see that the people we trust in will fail. But when we trust in him, there's no failing, and that faith increases. And that's going to be the only saving grace. It really is. The perilous times that we see, you can't say they can't get any crazier, because the enemy takes that as a challenge and says, yeah, hold my beer, watch this. And it just gets crazier, whether it's weather or the insanity going on that we're seeing in Kabul and Afghanistan or on the southern border all year. It just continues to grow.
I don't think people realize what the end game is over there in Afghanistan. The end game is to bring in hundreds of thousands of refugees into our country. And once you give them posh housing and a couple $1,000 a month to live on and food stamps and everything, who do you think they're going to vote for?
Yeah.
The scam of the voting machines has been revealed, and so now they want to come up with a new plan to continue for the demon rats to have continual power. The good news is that Psalm 2 says that God sits in the heavens and he laughs and he scoffs at them, at the plans that they make. But the reality is, the ultimate goal of this whole Afghanistan thing, it was planned, and it was to bring in hundreds of thousands of millions, maybe, I don't know, of Afghan refugees. If you notice that one of the high-ranking generals said that they brought in 6,000 people from Afghanistan, and of those 6,000, 300 were American citizens, and they say somewhere between 15 and 40,000 American citizens are still trapped there.
Still there.
Somewhere in the country.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can see what the end game is. The end game is to flood the country with immigrants, and then it's basically a third term of the abomination is what we're witnessing. We've talked about it before. I don't know if you heard the sermon on the seven kings, but it appears that the stage is set for the sixth king to return. And that's all it's in God's hands. I still think that we're at a kind of a Nineveh moment in this country where if we don't repent, turn to God, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And if they don't, he won't.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you do want to give a call, if you have a comment. I saw a thing that the U.S. citizens left in Afghanistan are being warned not to go to the airport. Avoid the airport. So put yourself in their place. Maybe you're a medical person or a former veteran, and you've been there on security detail. Who knows? There's all types of even U.S. citizens that have never been in the military that are there, that have been working there, and they're on their own. They're on their own. And all they're getting from the U.S. government is avoid the airport. Avoid the airport because it's too crowded and crazy there. And Afghanistan, Kabul, the places, they don't have the infrastructure like we do here. It's not like you can call an Uber and say, well, take me over there. It just doesn't happen. It just is not there. And so it
well, you can't get to the airport. You ain't getting out.
No. And I did see a report that British troops are going around and have been rescuing stranded American citizens, as well as some of their own. But by far and large, it's Americans, as far as at least among the American, British, French type people that are there, that are the majority of the people that were working there, visitors, you know, working with the Afghanistan government and working with the groups and things that were there. And again, they're on their own. They're just, it's just, you know, they can't have their company's jets come in and fly them out. They are on their own. They have been abandoned. American citizens abandoned by the American government. You know, if someone doesn't rescue them, the British troops or someone doesn't take care of them, they, you know, it's a death sentence for them. It really is. For things to change that fast, it is not a good thing. Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah. One of the major things that I see going on in the worldly realm is the FDA is saying that they're going to grant full approval of Pfizer's COVID vaccine on Monday. That's just the enemy stepping up their game, because that's going to give employers and medical institutions, things like that, additional leverage to try to force the people to be vaccinated.
Yes.
The other thing is they're trying to push now that the third booster shot. And I don't know, I've seen several doctors come out and say that, look, the first shot probably destroys your immune system about 15%, the second one about 30%. But if you take one more, whether it's a flu shot or this booster shot or anything else, it's imminent death, you know, other than obviously intervention from Jesus Christ, from the blood of Jesus, which we've been preaching. That's the only thing that's going to save you. I think it's all about humility, repentance, and the blood of Jesus cleansing you of any impurities. But you have to contact that blood, and that's encouraging to me. Was in our Wednesday morning prayer breakfast, I was preaching that about baptism for the remission of sins, and opening a lot of eyes to people who had in the past kind of poo-pooed it as, well, you know, I'm sprinkled, I'm good, or yeah, that you don't have to be baptized. And so the sad thing is most people don't even know all the scriptures about baptism. And what really gets them is the fact that you say, well, it was good enough for Jesus. And then you say, "There, you show me something negative about it." There's not one negative impact to being obedient to that call. And that pretty much shuts them up.
Yeah, it has not changed. It is still how you contact the blood. It is dying with him so that we can share in the glory of his resurrection. And as Galatians 3 puts it, being clothed with Christ. If you're not clothed with Christ, then you still have those filthy rags. And you have to be clothed with Christ. It's like having a dental benefit. Let's say you have insurance and you have a dental benefit for whatever, cleaning, fixing, whatever, and you never use it. the benefit's there. And you can have teeth problems, you can have gum problems, you can have all that stuff, and you have the benefit to go to the dentist and get it all fixed, but you don't. Just because you have the benefit doesn't mean it's automatically fixed. Well, I've got the benefit, so it's done. No, you still have to go do. You have to take advantage and do what you have to do to use that benefit. And that's where the Judeos have come in, in the last, 50 to 100 years, whatever, and turned this around. And as the Bible says, an enemy hath done this to prevent the people from contacting the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been printing the newsletter this week, folks. We've got about another day of printing, and that'll go in the mail. And I think you're going to enjoy it. It's chock full. Jason found us a new book, and I have a book review in there on it. And it's a great article on oaths and how we can use the scriptures to hold the people to their oaths and to hold them before God. And so it's being printed. We'll get that mailed out this next week. But when we print the newsletter, have the opportunity to listen to the 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week audio stream of Pastor Peter's messages that continue to go out. And listening the last couple days, you can't listen for more than a couple hours and hear Pastor not pushing and promoting the need for baptism. That is what saves us. That is what has us contact that, you know, when the Bible tells us, save yourself from this perverse generation, that's how we do it. It's repentance, and it's returning to Him in obedience. You hear so much about Jesus, Jesus. Oh, we love Jesus. We love Jesus. Well, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And Acts 2:38 is one of those. But there are people that are seeing it. There are continuing people that are hearing it, that truth is resonating with, that are, and then faced with the perilous times of today, the difficult times that 2 Timothy 3 talks about, are upon us. And they're not changing. They're not, it's not just like a peak, like a wave or a tide that is, it comes in and now it's receding. It just is growing and growing and growing. Whether it's the threat of this vaccination, like you said, John, there's, I got an email the other day of a doctor that had a note on her door that said, if you've been vaccinated, you need to wear a mask. And if you're not feeling well, don't come in and that type. But more and more what we're seeing is doctors that are refusing to treat or even see unvaccinated patients.
Well, that's a win.
It is. Because it is causing people to, again, to awaken, to see that wait a minute, what, you know, this is not right. And so it is starting one more thing to wake them up. I think is what it is. Well, Paul,
it's becoming more and more evident is that if we don't start planning, or what we should have been planning a long time ago, but for our own survival regarding food and growing food and things like that, then we're in real trouble, because I don't know if you noticed lately, but the grocery shelves are getting less and less full, and the mega food resources are, their shelves are getting less and less. Jason and Paul probably know more about that than anybody, but...
Well, one thing that I've noticed is, you know, you watch, and it's been kind of interesting, and I was thinking about it this morning, you know, Biden, he's been up there, you know, running his mouth, and he, you know, basically contradicting the same thing that's coming out of the Pentagon. Pentagon comes out with a statement on what's going on over there, and he says something completely opposite. Then I was thinking about, the term babble, and it's just kind of funny because it's like they're babbling on, you know, and they got their Babylonian system, that's for sure. You look at it, and it's like, you know, they're making a mockery of themselves, but they're also turning against themselves too. You know, when you got the president that's saying opposite things of the Pentagon, that's press releases, that's telling, you know, and that's how Babylon falls. It's when they turn one against another and their system. So it's, you know, it's, you know, people say that, oh yeah, I can't even watch it. I can't watch it, or I don't want to have anything to do with this, or it's just ridiculous. Well, it is, but it shows you, you know, just, is what it is there's a war against themselves too. And God's dealing with them, and that's an answer to prayer. And it's answer to God working. So, you know, you got to, in the midst of the storm and in the midst of the war, you know, we got to, you know, just remember to keep up the prayers and keep up the faith and keep the fight going on. And, you know, one thing that's really been on my heart too is, you know, training up this next generation of children and of warriors, you know, raising Christian warriors, Christian families, and how to, you know, teach them how to have a garden and how to grow food and take care of animals. And it's exciting and encouraging because there's a lot of people that are going back towards that, and they should have been going back towards that a long time ago. There's a lot of people that have made their children put up the video games and start getting a 4-H animal or start working in a garden or planting food. And, you know, that's what we need to do, is we need to be focusing on this next generation, because, you know, there's a that's the future. And like Paul said a long time ago, you know, our sole purpose on earth is to train our replacements. And that's one of the most important things that we can be doing, is training our replacements, because without them, we've lost it anyways. And they're the ones that you always want to leave. You want to leave the land better than you got the land. You want to leave your replacements with more knowledge and understanding and a better state of mind than we had. And you know, it's that constant growth that we need to be passing that information on to, you know, our offspring. I don't know. I see that there's some people that are really starting to take that to heart, and that's encouraging. People are trying to figure out what they can do, and they're reading and they're researching it. And I encourage people to do that. That's why we've been coming out with so many of these different books, and they're good books with good information. And people, you know, need to take heed to that. Things are changing in this land for sure, and you know, you can either change for the good or you can change for the bad. And there's a lot of people that have just become stagnant in the midst of this thing too. And you just got to make sure that you don't become that stagnant water.
Well, it's like the prophet. He thought he was the only one, and then God told him, "Well, there's 7,000 that didn't bow their knee to Baal." So we don't know how many's out there, and the remnant is being perfected. If you watch the news or wherever you get your information from, you have it. They give you absolutely no hope. But there are people out there that God does reign in their heart, and they are changing, and they can see it coming. There's plenty. I heard a story the other day of a slaughterhouse where they gave an ultimatum to get vaccinated or get out, and 500 people walked out. So tell me, that get in the thing. And this whole... you know, I know people that are nurses here that would have nothing to do with vaccination. I mean, and they're in the hospitals too, and they fire them. Well, pretty soon they're going to be self-destructive, which is a good thing. But we just don't know. God does say it's a remnant, so it's not everybody. And most people, I remember that Pastor Peterson out that poster one time, all the sheep going over the cliff and one going the other way. Excuse me. And I know everyone here has felt that way at some time. We feel very alone, but we're not. God is at our side. And there's some, this whole thing is being perfected right now. He said he's going to clear it with fire. Now, what is that fire, you know? But there's definitely a separation going on. And that's a good thing. So we have to look at the bright side. We got to quit talking about what the heck they're doing, because I don't care. But they really are doing it. I'm not denying that. But I got to know that I have to stand on my faith, or I wouldn't have nothing.
Amen. Amen. You know, when you read back through the time of the children of Israel in Egypt, when the plagues came through, you know, that was over a period of time. But when they came through, the majority of the plagues came through on the Egyptians. When the darkness came, there was light in the land of Goshen where the Israelites were. When the gnats came, and the flies and the gnats all over, they weren't on the Israelites. When the Egyptian cattle died, they weren't on the children of Israel, but they were on the right next door to them on the Egyptians. And I keep going back to that. That keeps coming up in my mind. I keep rereading that pre-Exodus story. It's in Exodus, but it was, you know, leading up to the leaving of Egypt. And it was the end of an age and the beginning of a new age. And I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing that again. We're seeing the things that are happening as you've said before, Paul, they're creating that divide. They're separating the wheat from the wheat from the chaff, the goats from the sheep, and it really is that age old saying of who are you going to serve, who are you going to fear, who are you going to believe, you know, who is God, and is supposed Christians, God-fearing Christians, who, you know, you kind of have to put your, not only your money where your mouth is, but your life where your mouth is. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to trust?
Well, the number one reason people get vaccinated is because of fear. They're afraid they're going to die. Where do you put your faith? If, you know, I read Eustace Mullins' Murder by Injection years ago, and I mean, we, as my age group, I'm 70, we are suffering from vaccinations from way back then. He's in that book. There's one guy in Indiana, he said that he never treated one person with cancer that wasn't vaccinated. This has been going on for a long time. They've been trying to kill us.
Yes.
You know, I remember Pastor Peter telling, too, where they're putting stuff into making queers and lesbians, you know, and that's in our food they're doing this, too. I know I can name you 15 queers within 10 miles of my house or lesbians. And that's just one small part of the world, real small part of the world. But see, this is, they're poisonous. They've been doing it forever. It's their number one, battle weapon is poison. And Pastor Peters died from it. He got it himself. This is what they do to us. So we're all poisoned to some degree in our food, our genetic engineering of crops and everything. It's like we were alive, you know. I just read the thing on the thing this morning. They are so disappointed in how the vaccination didn't kill more people sooner, you know. But that's the hand of God. And God's controlling the weather, too. He's controlling the weather. You know, and we talk about these veterans. They play on your ego. When you go into the Army, I've never been there, but your 6 weeks of training, however long it is to get your mind where you obey. That's what that's all about. They want you to obey, do what they tell you to do. And people are trained to do whatever they do. And, you know, it's, once in a while they get an oddball, like me and Pastor Peter, they just say, this ain't working, you know. But we've had our dose of it through the years, so... And you don't really know it until you lived it. So, but you come out. But these veterans, that, you know, there's two things that are not in a free country. There's no income tax in a free country, and there's no property tax. Now, you tell me you fought for freedom and take your veteran benefits. Well, good for you. I can't condemn it. I used to have coffee with a guy who was World War II, and he was under a tank in Germany, and it blew up and blew him right up against it. You know, and they have to be very fragile what you say to people, because they put their heart and soul into that, but they has not worked, is what I'm trying to say. And our war is in heaven. and he is pulling the strings at the moment. So I don't mean to belittle a veteran. We've all lived a life and all done stupid things and stuff like that, but we just over praise them because they spent a lot of people have died to protect this new world order, and that's what it's about. And Germany, Pastor Moore's book, The Devil's Children of the German Connection, and in the end of that book, he tells that more people died after the war in Germany than during the war from starvation. There was a train going from Austria for relief. President Eisenhower turned around and sent it back. And that war was about, Hitler was fighting the New World Order financial system of what he was doing. And their brothers, America and England, jumped right in and helped pounce them. I read two books that were written by Englishmen. Neither one of them would give Germany any credit of being one of us. You know, because I don't think you can describe the grief that went on in Germany, how they bombed them, destroyed them, and this is all coming to a head, and it's a good thing if you're in the protection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody should go back and read the story of the Red Sea predicament, Exodus 14. In fact, I want to read a little bit of it here. And starting in verse 10, it says, "As Pharaoh approached, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were coming after them. And they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, 'Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness?'" Sounds like typical Israelites. "Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But here's the things I want you to see. "The sea is divided. But Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will perform for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, you will never see them again. And the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent.'" And it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As for you, lift up your staff and reach out with your hand over the sea and divide it. And the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land.'" Think about that, dry land, okay? What usually happens when water dissipates from the ground initially? Mud. "Anyways, as for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and through his horsemen." But then it says, "Then the angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And there was a cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Therefore, the one did not approach the other all night." Anyways, a couple significant things there where the Israelites basically just thinking that they're dead. You know, they were led out here to die, and then for God to say, "Why are you crying out to me?" You know, that's, I think that's one of the key things that we have to do right now, especially dealing with the world that's trying to destroy us, is stand in the faith, just like Paul and Jason were saying. We have to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and claim the blood of Jesus over as no better weapon offensively or defensively. But it's important, I think, to go back and read those, especially right now. The story, Red Sea predicament in Exodus, it's encouraging.
What's even more important is that we know who we are. And this is one of the big problems we have. We don't know who we are as a nation. We are that people that crossed the Red Sea. And then you got to know who the players are if you're going to understand prophecy. And this is, you know, the original message. This is why Pastor Peter was a martyr, is because he told the message, and they didn't want that out. And yes, we are a Red Sea predicament for sure.
Yep. Well, that's why they're attacking the white race more than they are anything else.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can't believe how ingrained it is. Jesus was sent for everybody. He was sent for everybody, wasn't he? He was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That kind of changed his game.
Yeah. What are you saying, Dave?
I was just saying you can't have that Red Sea deliverance without being in a Red Sea predicament.
That's right. That's what God always said. Don't pray for the Red Sea deliverance because you're going to get that Red Sea predicament. But we're there, I think.
Amen.
Pretty close.
Amen. And we're told not to fear. We're told not to fear because when we don't fear, remember what the Word tells us, when we don't fear the enemy, well, that's a sign of destruction for them. But right now, the people are fearful. You know, and a fearful people are easily manipulated. When they're fearful, that's why these doctors are doing what they're doing. That's why they're pushing all this, because they have fear in the people, because the people are separated from their God. Just as the people there at the Red Sea were fearful. But God was glorified in it. And even with that, God was glorified in delivering his people for his glory and destroying his enemy. And he was glorified in that. And he'll be glorified in this Red Sea deliverance. He will. There's some that are crying out to him that are saying, "Save us, O God." And, you know, Nineveh was mentioned earlier. And if those people, when those people believed and repented, they were saved. Gives me hope for the lost sheep in this nation today, that they will see and they will repent, and maybe before or after. But just like you said, John, so many of them, you know, they complained to Moses, "Have you brought us out here to die? Because there were no graves in Egypt." There's so many of them, of our people today, that still have that spirit of Egypt, that spirit of wanting, not believing that that the vaccinations kill, not believing that the plans of the enemy are to wipe us out. When they see it, when they hear it, you've had senators, U.S. senators, elected officials say, you know, for the unvaccinated, they just need to be rounded up and shot. I mean, that's a quote that went out on public media. That went out on, that was on the news. Oh, it's a, you know, a little harsh words there, is how they put it. And our people don't believe it. Had a person on the ministry send me a video yesterday on the way home. Dr. Sean Brooks at the Southwest Ohio School Board meeting, quote, "Getting the vaccine will cause your death." He says the people who have taken it are going to die in the next 6 months to 3 to 5 years. Your school's going to close because the staff will fall ill and they'll die because they're requiring the vaccinations. And, you know, people just whatever, you know. Is ball game starting up? Who the Broncos going to have for quarterback this year? You know, is Budweiser on sale? And that's the concern of so many of our people today. But let the Costcos empty out and not fill up. And let the ATMs not work. And when they flip the light switch, if the lights don't come on. I think that's what it's going to take to get the attention of the people for God to be glorified.
Yeah, the good news is when God used his servant Moses to close the sea back up over the Egyptians, said not even one of them remained, but the sons of Israel walked on dry land, again, dry land, through
Amen.
The midst of the sea.
Amen.
And the waters were like a wall on the right side and the left. Not even one of them remained. Think about that.
Yes.
I mean, typically, if all of a sudden a flood just came, there'd be a certain number of people who might be able to swim to the shore or something like that. But, you know, he told them in the beginning, these Egyptians that you see today, you will not see again. So I say these demon rats, these sons of the devil that we see today, we will not see again. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open. Go ahead, Paul.
And we're not to weep when they're gone either. The Bible does tell us that either, you know, because, you know, I think there's not one person on this broadcast right now that don't love their neighbor. And the trouble is their number don't love themselves, you know, and we've been trying to tell them off and on, you know, and they just haven't listened. But let me quote here Ezekiel 38, the very last verse, 23. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And just before that, he sends the torrential rains and the hailstones, which is going on like crazy all over the world. And that's not on the news or nothing, because people would repent if they knew that. Because we all know we're guilty. You know, it's in our heart. We know we're guilty. We need to be saved. So, but he will magnify himself just like he did in the Red Sea, and he's going to do it again. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, so the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw that Egyptians dead on the seashore. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. But then again, as you continue to read on in Exodus, it wasn't long before they started murmuring and complaining and forgetting about the miracles that they had already witnessed. How many miracles did they witness, even through the plagues? How it,
yes.
It didn't affect them.
They don't call us hard-headed, stiff-necked for nothing.
Yeah. Yep. Exciting times,
yeah,
though, to be living in, for sure.
But when I get it, I got it, because I am one of those people.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And some in there got it. You know, Joshua got it. We have to remember that. Caleb got it. The Bible says he had a different spirit. A different spirit. And he survived. Him and his people and his family, they survived. They thrived. And Psalms 105 tells us that when God led them out, that there were none feeble among them. And see, when God leads, that's how it is. I can't help but think about Peter walking on the sea. That, hey, when we focus on Christ, when Christ is our focus, we can do the impossible. We can defy the laws of gravity when we focus on Christ. If we believe the word, that's what they did there. They were scared. They were their families. They had their families with them there at the Red Sea, with the army bearing down behind them. And you know, they were thinking they were fixing to get run over by the chariots and slaughtered and cut up and everything. And whoever survived was going to be brought back into bondage. And then it opens up and God made a way. It's a fantastic story. I'm glad you brought that up, John, because it's playing out before us today. Whether it's the plagues, and you know, that took a while. That didn't happen over the weekend, the plagues. I mean, that wasn't just something that happened and then it's over and then they're leaving. It was spread out over time, and we're seeing a replaying of that today. We really are.
Yeah, I brought it out in a message here not too long ago, but basically when you keep reading in Exodus, you run into that story of the sons of Korah, who thought that they were going to take authority over the situation away from Moses that God gave the authority to. It didn't work out so well for them or their families or anyone that they knew or anything that they owned. So, good examples to go back and read about how God dealt with the enemies throughout the Bible, really.
Yes. Yes. I'm in 2 Timothy, and it seems to apply to this morning. It says here in chapter 1, he says, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. And
yep.
And amen. We know.
Good merit scripture.
We know.
Good merit scripture when you're entering that covenant.
That's right.
between you and your wife. You entrust that marriage with him, and he'll guard it.
Yes. Amen. Well, Remnant, a few minutes left. 307-745-5913. I know it was mentioned earlier about some of the grocery store shelves being a little lighter. I've sure noticed that over the last few weeks, even months, that there's just not as much all over. And I think that we're going to continue seeing that with the lack of water in the northwest United States, the wild weather in, and Paul, you've reported on that, in snow in places in Chile and Brazil and Africa. And there's a lot of food that comes from those places, at least South America. And I think that as time goes on, we're going to see the impact of those things in the grocery stores as well.
Oh, definitely. You can't grow food under the conditions around the country. And when you have rain continuously, that's just that you're not going to have no harvest. And this is going on in Europe big time. I seen on one yesterday that France is on fire. Well, one day they're drowning, the cars are floating out to sea, and the next day they're on fire. You know, tell me God isn't powerful.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. I was reading this morning, there's four major storms swirling, you know, around the United States right now, and wildfire smoke that is so bad it can be seen by satellite. It appears that Storm Henry is going to hit Martha's Vineyard head on, and I honestly think it's going to wipe out Abomination's place there. I think God's just going to show the people what's going on. You know, we're in the birth pangs, and those birth pangs, as they get closer together and stronger, is how God continues to try to he's not slow, as the world counts slowness, but he's patient, not wanting for any of his to come to destruction, but all to come to repentance. And those are the warnings that continue.
Amen.
And there are people that are waking up. It's exciting times for sure.
Yes. I saw a blurb this morning.
Paul, but, I mean,
That's the first hurricane,
really
first hurricane New England's looking at in the last like 25 years. So it's
30 years, yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting times.
Yeah. But it's, you know, you talk to people, especially people that are members of the body, the Remnant and stuff, and the reality is, I don't know anyone who's been significantly impacted by all of this crap that's going on. I mean, we have to stand on the promises, and one of those is Malachi 3:10, you know, that says, test me and see if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven so that your blessings are innumerable, and rebuke the devourer. And that's where we're at.
Yes.
So if you're obedient to him, and one of those things is tithing, whatever you tie to, biblical source that you tie to, doing God's work, then you can claim those promises. Rebuke the devourer. You can just say, I rebuke the devourer in the name of Jesus Christ. I hold you to the promise that you've given me as a son of God. All of those promises.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's just the exact same thing as we read in Psalms 91. Those promises that are there, because the terror is there by night, and the arrow flies by day, and the pestilence stalks in darkness. The destruction, it lays waste at noon. It does. And the plague, it's there. It is there, and it is growing. But for those that dwell in the shelter, for those that have the Lord as their refuge and their fortress, and have trust in him, as Psalms 91 says, it stays over there. And when it does come, you can rebuke it. you can rebuke it, whether it is a storm, whether it is that pestilence, whether it is that arrow that flies by day, that destruction that comes at the noon, whatever it is. It doesn't come here. That we are delivered from that. Again, the thought occurs, save yourself. Save yourself from this perverse generation. We have the opportunity to do that. That is available to the true follower of Jesus Christ. And it always has been.
Yeah.
Throughout history, it always has been. That's the remnant that has done that. That's the remnant that braved the seas to float over the ocean on a leaky little boat, praying to God the whole way. And then you're stepping off into a new wilderness, having to find food and shelter and doing that. And it was because they were obedient to their God, and they were blessed and protected by their God.
Yeah, this is how the insanity has gotten. This is the headline. Fully vaxxed man dies of COVID. It could have been worse, doctors said. In a Maccabee twist to COVID-19 reporting, after a fully vaccinated man died from COVID complications, one news media source said doctors said that the condition of the father could have been much worse if he was not vaccinated.
He could have died worse?
Well, that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the reality is you could, because you're not supposed to fear the one that can kill you. You better fear the one that can cast you into hell after he's killed you. So all you can do is pray that this man who died from this was
a
born-again Christian.
Amen. I know people in Laramie that have been vaccinated and that have just this past week tested positive for COVID. Now, they haven't died. Sure hope they don't. I pray for them. But fully vaccinated, and we're seeing that more and more and more, and that they're still testing positive. It's there, folks, if you want to think. If you will awake to this, to what's going on, you know, do your best to keep your immune system healthy. You know, that is one of the greatest defenses we have, is that God-given immune system, and do all you can to keep it healthy. You know, when it comes to food, when it comes to drink, in all things, moderation, right? Don't overdo any of it. And supplement. We have to supplement. We're still sending LDM out like crazy. The Flu Buster Pack we still have. They're effective. And they're there and available.
What's comical to me is how the graphs and pictures and wording that they use is that 70% of all of the people over 16 have been vaccinated. And that is an outright lie. I would say it's closer to 30 to 40%. But by saying that 70% of the people are vaccinated, or 65, whatever it is, that they're just trying to coax more and more people into taking it.
Yes.
The sad thing is, now that the FDA has approved it, there will be a whole bunch of sheep that won't even have to be forced to take it. They'll willingly take it. But I still say it's God can turn a curse into a blessing. It's all about humility, repentance, blood of Jesus.
Amen to that. Well, guys, we're about out of time. Wow, where did the hour go? I want to thank everybody for joining us this morning. Thank you, The Remnant, for tuning in, and thank you for supporting us. Your tithes and offerings, your donations, they allow us to continue to have programs not only like this, but to spread the gospel throughout the country, throughout the world, through the broadcast at scriptures4america.org and SFAWBN, and so we thank you for that. We invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us at church starting at 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central, 8:30 Mountain Time, 7:30 on the West Coast. You can join us. We'll have a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth. John, looking forward to your live message tomorrow. We'll have communion. It's an opportunity, folks, to draw closer to God, to read His Word, to see His Word, to join with like-minded Christians You know, the word tells us that, what is it, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Well, what do you think those three strands are? See, that I think can be that is when we as Christians, as true followers of Jesus Christ, come together, then we are strengthened. We are strengthened. We need that that group, that true Christian strengthening in the days that we're in. We do. And the timeless pulpit truths that are coming out, I hope you're watching them. They are for today. They were for the day they were preached, but they, like the word, you know, in the day that Paul wrote these letters to Timothy, they were needed then. Oh, they were needed by Timothy and the people then, but they're needed today, over 2,000 years later as well. They are just as relevant, if not more. And that's how this word is. And so many times we see that the teachings from this word that we see in the timeless pulpit truths, that they are that way. They are the things that our pastor warned us about and prophesied about, we see coming true today. We do. And so we hope you'll join us. Remnant, know that we pray for you, and we ask you to pray for us here at Scriptures for America Ministry. Guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.